This is Morning Edition on NHPR. I'm Rick Gamley, and this is the New Hampshire News Recap. New Hampshire farmers have struggled with crop losses after flooding and late spring freezes last year. Now, the state's rolled out a relief program with $8 million in aid to help cover farm losses, but some farmers are saying they're frustrated with it. To tell us more, I'm joined by NHPR's Kate Dario. Good morning, Kate.
Good morning.
So, Kate, this aid program from the state was created to help farmers out. Why are farmers taking issue with it?
Yeah, so basically there are two threads here. The first one I would say is that the farmers feel like there's been a little bit of a breakdown in communication. The original iteration of this program was actually a legislative bill, and then sort of the State Department of Agriculture repurposed it to use ARPA funds, so it ended up not going through the legislative process. But basically, in the meantime, how the state was evaluating crop loss, that criteria changed from what was proposed in the bill to what is actually in the program that's being implemented. And farmers, I think, felt surprised and a little in the dark about that change. And then kind of the second thread is they're not liking that change because they're feeling like it's more stringent criteria that is not going to provide as much relief as they need, because a lot of these growers really had tough seasons last year and are seeing substantial losses. So this stringent criteria is only giving them, you know, a tiny sliver of what they need to stay afloat after a really difficult year.
So they're saying it's a confusing process. And on top of that, it's just not enough.
Exactly.
Yeah. We should probably, you know, remind listeners, we had all kinds of unusual weather over the past year. Tell us more about how farming's been affected in the state.
Yeah. So last year affected all different types of farmers kind of across the state. First, in the spring, there were two substantial freeze events that really hit fruit growers hard. They basically wiped out the peach crop in New Hampshire, and then a lot of apple growers were hit really hard by that. And apples are a big crop here and something that people rely on, you know, apple picking, that sort of has a big role in getting people to farms. And a lot of apple growers saw really substantial losses last year because of the freeze event. And then there was a lot of rain last year, which led to flooding in different parts of the state. And some of that rain and some of that flooding contributed directly to crop loss. You know, some crops were destroyed in that. But then also there was this larger issue of when there's flooding, that can contaminate the fields. And then that can create damage that lasts beyond just one growing season. It can put these fields in really vulnerable positions for crop disease that can stay with farms for years to come. So farmers were really affected by the extreme weather last summer.
So how are state officials responding to the farmers' criticism?
Yeah, so state officials and representatives from the UNH Cooperative Extension, they hosted a webinar earlier this week to try to walk farmers through how to apply for this program. But I think a lot of farmers thought that this meeting was going to be more of a forum for them to voice some of their complaints and some of their concerns about this program. So officials are trying to encourage people to apply, but I think farmers kind of want some of the criteria in this program to change, if that makes sense. The Commissioner of Agriculture, Sean Jasper, was there, and he really encouraged farmers to reach out to him directly. I think that both sides kind of feel like perhaps there's been a breakdown in communication. So hopefully, you know, some conversations will start and they'll be able to work together more collaboratively.
Let's listen to what the Commissioner Sean Jasper had to say this week to farmers.
My intent is to get the $8 million out and to get as much of it out as quickly as I possibly can. I've got to tell you, you know, looking at the weather patterns and seeing what I've seen in the last 40 years, we're going to have to expect things like this to happen.
So what the commissioner is highlighting there is that unusual weather is really what is becoming usual, and farmers are some of the people that are most vulnerable to these changing patterns.
Right. And you've reported that this warm winter has been messing with this year's maple season production. What are you hearing from maple syrup producers across the state?
Yeah, the trend across the state, I would say, is that people are tapping their trees earlier, and therefore the season, on average, is lasting shorter for a lot of producers. This can affect yield, so people are making less syrup. And also, because of the warming temperatures, people have been seeing lower sugar quantity in their syrup, and that can change the taste, the color, and also, again, the yield of the syrup that they're making. So producers, particularly in the southern part of the state, are just seeing their traditional maple syrup practices changing because of the warming weather.
So this isn't universal?
Well, I would say, based on my conversations with people up north, they tend to be a little bit more insulated because their winters are colder. They saw more snow. You know, when I was making these calls in early March, a lot of people in the southern part of the state had no snow cover, but it's still pretty snowy if you go way up in the north country. So those producers that I spoke with, they have been seeing their season shift earlier, but it just, because it's still kind of more wintry up there, it's had less of an effect on the quality and the quantity of their syrup. And also another factor in this is that places that use more advanced tubing technology, that also kind of can insulate against some of these issues with yield because they're able to go really deep in the tree and they're a little protected from changing weather. So a lot of the places that use tubing are bigger, more commercial operations, and they've been a little bit more protected from some of these issues than some of the hobbyists or smaller producers who use the old-fashioned, you know, gravity and bucket that you can see when you're just, you know, on a country road or something.
Sure. So what are the best conditions then for maple syrup production?
Yeah, the old adage you'll hear is cold nights and warm days. And the issue this season and kind of in preceding winters, too, is that it's been harder to get those cold nights. And also, the weather has just been less consistent and it's been more erratic. So maybe, you know, in February, it'll be the ideal temperature and then it will warm up, you know, randomly and then go back to being cold again. And this affects the sap runs in the trees. And people are having a harder time getting those like nice, consistent sap runs in trees. And that's affecting their ability to make as much maple syrup. And also, again, the quality is shifting.
It's as if the trees are confused.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So what are maple producers telling you about their future?
Yeah. So I think one thing I do want to underscore is that we don't need to worry about maple syrup production going extinct in New Hampshire anytime soon, but it just will change as the climate is changing in the state. I think these warmer, shorter seasons are going to become the norm. In New Hampshire, March is dubbed Maple Month because historically this was the peak of maple production season. But one producer said to me, you know, February is the new March because people are tapping their trees so much earlier that they're really kind of, their whole season is shifted earlier in the winter. So I think that that's going to be something that's going to continue to change.
So maple production is still happening in New Hampshire, but the character is changing a bit.
Exactly.
NHPR's Kate Dario, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You'll find more of Kate's reporting, by the way, at nhpr.org. If you've been having a hard time finding a place to live or affording your current home, you're not alone. The state's vacancy rate is consistently low, under 1%, while the average cost of rent is climbing higher. Lawmakers have proposed changes to zoning laws to address the tight market here in New Hampshire. Here to tell us more about it is Rob Dappas. He's the executive director of New Hampshire Housing. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, Rick.
Thanks so much for coming in. Firstly, Rob, tell us more about how zoning laws affect the housing market.
Sure. Zoning laws, you know, we like to say that there's a range of factors that affect housing supply and cost, and we kind of use the L's, land, labor, laws, lumber, but most builders are going to tell you that local zoning laws and regulations are, if not the most significant driver, one of the most significant drivers. I mean, they take a lot of land area simply off the table, just in terms of no builder would be able to abide by the rules and build something, build new homes there and make money.
So what are some of the bills that you've been watching for in this session that you think could create some solutions for this tight housing market that we've been seeing for years now?
Yeah, it's been an interesting legislative session. A lot of legislators on both sides of the aisle have been looking at ways to sort of strike the right balance between enabling municipalities to make reasonable zoning laws without being too restrictive. And so some of those examples of those include House Bill 1291 from Representative Ellen Reed, which expands the right of property owners to add accessory dwelling units. Those are sometimes called in-law apartments to their homes.
Could those be something attached to the house or something that would be on a regular single-family lot, but an outbuilding, that kind of a thing?
So it could be either one. And for almost a decade, towns and cities have been required to allow the addition of ADUs. Prior to that, you could just say you can't add an apartment to your home if you want your mother-in-law to move in or whatever. It's been required, but towns are still able to say it's got to be attached to the home. It's got to be no larger than 750 square feet. Some towns have even said you have to have two or three additional parking spots off street. And so some of those seem pretty clearly to be attempts to sort of circumvent the intent of the law and mm-hmm. prevent people from adding ADUs. And so this law would sort of limit some of those ways that people can make it harder. It would actually require towns and cities to allow detached ADUs and would and actually up to two ADUs per home.
So something like that, you know, that's overriding local control, which is obviously a big thing here in New Hampshire. What kind of criticisms are you hearing about that? I imagine some towns are pushing back.
Yeah, that's right. And local control has always been, you know, an argument that comes up as a sort of reason for why the state shouldn't get involved in local zoning. I mean, I think it's important to remember that to the degree that towns and cities have the right to enact these land use controls and local zoning regulations, it's only because the state has granted those powers to them. And so there's always been a role for the state in limiting those powers for people to essentially tell their neighbors what they can and can't build on their private property. And as lawmakers and a lot of other people reckon with the housing crisis that we're in and the sort of the place that we've gotten as a result of the excessive use of these restrictive land use controls, it's just a conversation that's going on to try to find that right balance.
In addition to some of these extra housing units that could be built on single-family lots, what are some other legislation that's pending now that could bring more, you know, workforce housing and more development and maybe other zone commercial zones, that kind of thing?
Yeah, well, so not specifically zoning-related, but House Bill 1065 from Representative Damon is a sort of a common sense measure that says when you're converting a building to a 3 or 4 unit small apartment or condo building, you don't have to add sprinklers. And that's a great example of folks working together. The state fire marshal, Sean Toomey, is in support because he's looked at the data and recognized that those kinds of sprinkler systems, while they're a significant cost barrier, don't save lives as long as the building is otherwise up to code and has adequate egress. There's a couple of exciting Senate bills. One from Senator Innes would double the allocation from the real estate transfer tax to the Affordable Housing Fund. And then Senate Bill 538 from Senator Rebecca Perkins-Cuoca has a number of different provisions, including tax provisions that would incentivize conversion of commercial buildings to residential.
Before we go, I do want to ask you, Rob, are there towns or cities that you see making real strides to address zoning barriers to housing access, you know, independent of the legislature?
There are, and there's a couple that have sort of always been out in the lead. You know, Dover has a number of innovative provisions, and they just, through that innovation, they facilitated the creation of this project, the Cottages at Back River Road, 44 new units on 7 acres. And I think anybody who visited that site would be hard-pressed to say that that's something they wouldn't want in their town. Lebanon has been doing great work to identify opportunities to create what's called missing middle housing. Conway, Hinsdale, Boscawen, some of smaller towns that, without getting into the details, have been doing really good work.
So there are towns around that we can look to.
Yes.
Rob Dappas is the Executive Director of New Hampshire Housing. Thank you so much for the time, Rob.
Thank you.
You can learn more about what we talked about this morning at nhhfa.org and, of course, at nhpr.org. And while you're there, we also suggest you check out the New Hampshire News Quiz. It's a quick, fun, and informative way to test your knowledge of the week's news. You can sign up to get the quiz emailed to you, and you can check it out at nhpr.org/quiz. I'm Rick Gamley, and this is NHPR.